lion's tail off of my pocket knife. He'd show him the tail and show him his knife. And he'd go to the next person and say, guess what? They said, what is it? He said, I cut a lion's tail off of my pocket knife. Finally, one of them said, why didn't you cut his head off? He said, well, somebody had already done that, praise God. Amen. And honestly, after this good singing, I feel like God's already moved. It's been good to be here. And, you know, thank God y'all don't quench the Holy Ghost around here. Man, these churches down in our country, it's supposed to be spirit-filled churches. They scared to death of the Holy Ghost. And it's glad y'all got a vein of that up here, praise God. Just, you don't need to pump it or prime it. Just let it be free, and it'll be just right. Pray. Not everybody's going to act like we act. Amen. But ain't nothing wrong with acting like it. It'll relieve a lot of pressure and tension. People's going to therapy and psychobabble counseling and taking pills and getting massage therapists and
to try to relieve tension.
Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Man, bless God. Just get in here on church night and get your hands up.
Yeah.
It helps all in your neck and shoulders. You got to get empty. I think the pastor said it last night, in order to be filled. You got to be empty to be hungry. We're so full of carnality, honest to God. We're so full of the world that it's hard to cram God in on top of it. When I bend my ears, say amen, that helps me. Or my ears are going to look like mud flaps on a semi-truck by the time the service is over. This is amen, this is hallelujah over here. Let's try it one time, check it out. And like, yes, that means glory to God. That's good. Well, y'all getting on, praise God. I'm on the radio a lot at home. And when it gets dead in church, I'll bend my ear and I'm hinting for an amen. And sometimes I'll be preaching hard on stuff. My people ain't liking it. And people tell me, man, your people really like that hard preaching. I don't know how I'm pulling them amens out of them. But we're going to have to get full. We're living in a dark time. We're living in a probably, since the church age began, the most adverse age to the cause of Christ. You say, well, what about our forefathers that are martyred? I don't think you're as aware of it as you need to be. But Christians all across this globe are being martyred today.
Right.
By the thousands. There's been more Christians martyred in the year, the 20th century, than all of the previous generations of saints. We don't always hear about it. The devil has a good way of disguising it, doesn't he? Amen.
Yes.
But it's happening nonetheless. And we're in a dark time. And I want to draw your attention to this book, chapter 24, the book of Joshua. And I'm going to read two verses. Let's stand together and give you one more chance to stretch your legs because, you know, who knows what will happen. I honestly would like to stop at 8 o'clock. Somewhere, that's in Puerto Rico somewhere. Amen. I mean, I'm so long-winded, it's pitiful. I don't know what to do. People should know it when they ask me to come. I mean, I just don't have short messages. It takes me like 20 minutes to get into something to want to preach. Most people's over by then. And I hate it if y'all can't take it. Hey, blame it on your pastor. He knew it before he called me. Amen. I heard about one little boy sitting by his mama. And preacher had been preaching, I mean, like 30 minutes, and then an hour, and an hour and 30 minutes. And finally, the little boy pulled his mama's dress and said, Mama, what comes after this man? She said, Wednesday morning comes after this man. Praise God. Amen. Preach so long. And people get to pray. I remember one man preached so long. And they, about halfway through the message, a lady in the back said, preach on, Pharaoh. And it distracted him, you know. He couldn't quite understand what she had said. So he preached this side of the auditorium. He preached about an hour and a half. She said, preach on, Pharaoh. And he just tried to ignore her. And after the service, he preached for 2 hours. After the service, he's back shaking hands. And the lady come by and shook his hand and said, good to see you and appreciate the message. And he said, I appreciate you being here. What was you saying a while ago? She said, I said, preach on Pharaoh. And he said, my name's not Pharaoh. She said, oh, yes, it is, because you won't let God's people go. Amen. That's long-winded, man. You know. Preacher preaching so long and a fella come into service late. I mean, he'd slipped in late and he's in the foyer back there and preacher just preaching sweat. This old-timey preacher, old white-haired preacher. 80-something-year-old sweat running down him. I mean, just tie halfway undone, slobber hanging out, gathered on the side of his mouth. And it looked like he was about to pass out preaching. And that visitor said to the usher in the foyer, said, how long's he been preaching? Usher said, 48 years. He said, man, he ought to be through by now. Amen. Oh, God help us. Laugh a little while, you that are so spiritual that you can't laugh. Hey, God help you. We'll see if you can take the beating in a little bit, all right? Here's the last words. And mind you, while you're standing, the last words of Joshua. I believe the last words of any man ought to be remembered words. I'm talking about, I've got a book at home entitled The Last Words of the Saved and the Unsaved. It's an interesting book. Quotations of God's men as they crossed over into glory. Last words of this great author ought to be remembered words in that they were God-breathed. It's inspired words of God. They surely ought to be remembered words. My daddy was dying with bone cancer. He got in his final days. The last 48 hours of his life, we kept a tape recorder beside the bed, and everything that he said, we recorded. Those are valuable words to us. Valued because they was his last words. He gave great admonition to me as a young preacher over those last 2 days of his life. And now he's addressing the congregation of Israel for the last time. You know Joshua is the Hebrew name Jesus. You understand that? He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The captain of the host. Amen. He's a wonderful example for us to follow. Now notice when he comes to the end of his life, he says in verse number 14, chapter 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. That's good admonition for the year 2009. Fear the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fearing God is a good thing. The reverence of God, the respect of God, the awareness of a sovereign God, that's a good thing. Fear the Lord. And he said, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, little g gods, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the big L Lord. Amen. And he said, verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, can you imagine, you older folks, can you imagine that we've reached a place in America where it has seemed and been deemed evil to serve the Lord? We're evil. I mean, man, pray in every name but Christ's name. Use a generic God. It's very popular to believe in God today. But when you specify deity and you preach in God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, quickly we're ostracized. Well, that's that crowd over there. They're narrow. They just believe Jesus is the only way. Exactly. Amen. He's not a door. He's the door. Amen. He's not a way. He's the way, the truth and life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So we follow God of the Bible and we've been identified as the problem. He goes on to say, if it's evil to you, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the little g gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or them little g gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight once again for the blessed privilege together with your people. I'm encouraged tonight. These days have been a great blessing to me to meet this pastor and his family, his precious wife, these grandchildren, and a son that wants to serve you, leading the songs here and serving beside his daddy. Lord, these good people here in this Northland. I'm excited. I'm encouraged that there's still some of it left here. And I do pray right now a bountiful blessing upon this place. I pray God's hand upon these brethren in this part of the world who's still seeking the old paths. And I pray you'd bless them and I pray you'd raise them up. We, Lord God, we sure need to be raised up and be visible in these last days and give them results for their labor. Let them see souls for their labor, Lord. Bless them and encourage them. Meet the needs in this hour. And I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me and will fail me. It'd be easy tonight for us to be distracted by the affairs of politics that are taking place. All the great weighty decisions our politicians will make. But Lord, tonight for the next little while, I pray you'd arrest the attention of the listener. And let us focus on the Word of God and change us tonight. Alter us for eternity's sake. Lord, let us leave these walls more determined to serve you than we came in these walls. And there may be somebody here in this crowd lost. And I pray tonight be the last night they're lost. And I pray for old-timey Holy Ghost conviction to show them their need of a Savior and let them get around this altar before they leave here tonight and leave here saved and assured of a heavenly home. For the saint of God who's grown weary, I pray tonight refreshment upon them. Breathe upon them a refreshing wind from heaven. Let us leave here, Lord, with an excitement. And then for that one, Heavenly Father, who's wayward, I pray you'd send revival to their life. Let them see, Lord, the impending judgment for disobedience and let them draw nigh to God tonight. Lord, help me. I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me and will fail me. And I yield myself to you from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Fill me. Lord, I pray for my family back home tonight. Protect them in my absence. And Lord, if this would be the last time I get to preach, Lord, I pray that I do my best. Help me to do my best. Lord, I pray that these people would listen like it's the last time they'll ever get to hear preaching. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach just like it'd be the last chance I ever get. Fill me and use me, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Oh, Joshua was a man who made some decisions early in life. And let me say that the decisions you make early in life will make you or break you. He had made a choice as a young man 40 years earlier, and then after these days of existence as the leader in the land of conquest, he's come to the conclusion of his life, but it wasn't there where he made the decision, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Don't misunderstand these last words as if he's come to the end and he's recanting. And now he's come to a conclusion it would have been better off if I had served God. No, he'd been serving him all along. Yes, Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that came back with a good report. 12 men went into that Canaan land, the promised land of God. And 10 of them came back and said, "Looky here, we're grasshoppers in their sight. We'll never be able to take on that enemy. Hey, we're losers." But two came back and said, "Man, let's get it done." In fact, Caleb said, "We be able." He had a look, that was the Ebonic Bible right there. Amen. We be able. I mean, praise God. He said, "I believe God can overcome the giants in that land. And God being our helper, let's go in and possess it now." Yeah. Though they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of the majority's disobedience, he clung to the promise of God. And after 40 years of following God and then leading a nation into victory after victory after victory after victory, he comes to his dying words and he says, "Let me tell y'all, I'm going to die the way I started." Amen. God help us. I mean, hey, if it ain't nobody but us, look up in here. If it ain't nobody watching this room, God help us to die the way we started. I can't understand this compromising crowd. I can't understand this talk, Brother Daniel. We used to sing songs like that. I remember when I was a boy, old sister so-and-so shouting, "My granny worshiped God." I don't understand that kind of talk. This book's a book of absolutes. If it ever was right, it still is right. If it ever was wrong, it still is wrong. I don't understand that kind of talk. Amen. Hey, God help us to be able to say when it's all over and our last breath is drawn into the lungs of man, let us be able to say, God bless your heart. As for me and my house, we gonna serve God. A lot of things I like. I got to hurry because this message is really short, but my introduction's about an hour and a half. I noticed that he didn't confer with his hippie daughter upstairs with her Walkman on and her iPod and her cell phone and her mini skirt and pierced belly button. Amen. He didn't ask her what she thought we ought to do. He didn't call his little sodomite son in with his little necklaces on. Somebody help me now. Little effeminate something. Purple haired, bless God, fingernail painted, thumb ring wearing. Look up in here and ask him, what do you think, Stephen, we should do? Amen. But he made the choice long before they ever got here. You listen to me in these last days. I'm amazed today at the options we're giving our family. I'm talking to daddies now. I visited a man who had come to our church, filled out a visitor's card, and I remember walking to the house and the whole upstairs was just vibrating. And it was that out of hell rap music. What I meant to say was that out of hell rap music. What I meant to say was that out of hell rap music. I don't know if I'm communicating real good. What I meant to say was that out of hell Madonna, out of hell Madonna, out of hell rap, out of hell Britney Spears, out of hell Britney Spears, out of hell Miley Cyrus, bless God, amen. Hey, out of hell half naked, look up in here, music just permeating. When I walked up to the door, I knocked on the door. And they came. Here comes the mom and the daddy. I'm going to get to this message. I just want to test everybody's blood pressure and see where everybody's at. I can watch by the expression on your face what you think about it. Amen. And here they came, and I heard the mother run up and say, turn it down. I heard that daughter say, I ain't turning it down. I don't care who's here. Are y'all listening? And I mean, through all that, daddy had to go back up there. And then even then it didn't get turned down, it just got turned down. You can still feel it vibe. Do 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 do. And I sat there at the coffee table. And I said, Let me invite you back to our services. That man said, oh, he said, man, I was raised up in a church like yours. And his wife said, oh, I just love that old fashioned choir singing. So that's the kind of songs we sung when I was a girl. And he said, what we're going to do, we're going to have a family discussion. Are y'all listening? And said, we're going to vote on it. I thought, God help vote on it. Sir, you're the head of this house. And we're going to vote. I'm thinking, do you honestly think that nose pierced triple 15 earring, look up in here, do you honestly think she's going to vote for our church? No. Do you honestly think that effeminate son of yours sitting over there is going to vote for our church? Come here. Is everybody listening? Yeah. Somebody help me now. Yeah. You don't have to like this. You can lump this, bow up, roll in the floor. I was preaching it before I come, and God bless your heart, I'll preach it when I leave here too. Hey! Yeah. And he said, we're going to vote on it. I said, God help vote on it. You know what, daddy, you need to do? You need to make some decisions, even if it costs you some discomfort. Amen. Well, I just don't want it to cause as much turmoil. Well, I'll tell you something. You're the one going to have to give an answer for it. And one day, head of the house, you're going to have to answer to God for your decisions you make. I'd rather all hell break loose, look up in here, and me know I'm doing the right thing is have just peace temporarily, and then all hell break loose later. It's going to break loose at the abortion clinic. It's going to break loose at the rehab center. It's going to break loose at the Youth Correctional Institute. It's going to break loose somewhere. You might as well say, you ain't going out there. Hey, look up in here. If you had to tie a chain to her and anchor her on, put handcuffs on her and walk around with her, she's your responsibility. He's your responsibility. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about he made some decisions for his family. Is everybody listening?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about, is everybody all right?
Yes.
Hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I've been asked recently, now how come, Brother Tony, you serve the Lord? I mean, I've been saved a long time. I was brought up on drugs. I was drugged Sunday morning, drugged Sunday night, drugged Wednesday night. Amen. All I've ever known is church. And people talk about, well, if you make your child and everything go to church, when they get old, they won't want to go. Isn't that funny? I'm going more to church now than I've ever gone. I go every night. I feel backslid if I skip one night of preaching somewhere. I feel bad. I didn't go to church tonight. Y'all understand that? I'm in church every night of my life, ma'am. Somewhere across this nation, I'm in church preaching somewhere. Hey, all the time. And look up in here. I don't do it because I love this stuff.
Amen.
Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. The blueness of the womb drive. All this. By the way, just interject this. Hey, I don't believe in child abuse. I believe a child abuser ought to be abused. But I believe in child discipline. And he never said in the scripture, go stand in the corner. It said the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and a rod of correction will drive it far from him. And in order to clarify what that rod is, so you won't try to rationalize and try to spiritualize that rod into being talking, it said the blueness of the womb driveth away wrath. Some of you, the problem with y'all, you don't whoop your young'uns enough. You whoop them until they get mad. You ought to whoop them until they get glad. If you get down to the quick, look up in here, they'll learn what woe means, come here, ye and haul. Amen, friend. Hey, that's right. We got now, now that's one, Johnny. That's a no-no. God help, that's one. I'd have woke up in a coma. Oxygen tin over my head, back talk my mama like I see young'uns do around here. And let me just say up here in the North, can I suggest something? This is parenthetical time, parenthetical, throw something in. Hey, yes, ma'am sounds a whole lot better than yes. Can I just parenthetically throw in something? Y'all can do what you want to, but y'all's culture. But yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, no, ma'am sounds a whole lot better than yeah, and no.
Amen.
Is everybody okay? You asked me to come. Put it on and wear it. Amen. It ain't no southern thing. It's a respectful thing. They don't answer in the service, yes. It's I, sir. It works for Yankees in the service. It won't hurt for them to do it at home. Amen, friend. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Brother Tony, thank you for that advice. It'll be real help. Hey, train them. Retrain them. Hey, respect. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. They asked me the other day, why do you serve? I mean, I was raised to serve the Lord. I was brought up to do it. I'm here tonight because I was brought up to do this. You understand? You know why Daniel's here? He's brought up to do this. We've been brought up. That's what we do. That's what we're trained to do. That's what we're brought up to do. That's what we live to do. That's what I exist for.
Yeah, amen.
My heart beats to do what I'm doing right here tonight. I desire. I mean, my pedigree. I tell you why I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord because of my position. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 5, let us not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Bible said, hey, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And it said, be not conformed unto this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove. What you going to prove? That which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can't find all these Christian philosophers putting out this literature, making all these dollars on this permissive will. I can't find a permissive will. Don't y'all die on me. In the Bible, I don't see permissive will. I see obedience and disobedience. And I see every time disobedience costs you something. You're to prove that which is the perfect will. God has a plan. You know what old Bob Jones Sr. said? Ford Jr. and them started all them plays up there and all them robe wearing. Look up and you know what Bob Jones Sr. said? He said, now this is going to be hard for you Northerners to to comprehend this, but I'm going to try to help you. He said, you ought to find God's possum's trail for your life and get on it. You know what he's talking about? No, which I'm going to interpret. A good coon dog ain't got no business running a deer. And a good beetle hound ain't got no business running a fox. You better stay with them rabbits. Amen. And a good cur dog ain't got no business baying polecats. You ought to be treeing possums. And you ought to find God's purpose for your life.
Amen.
Amen. And get busy about it. And I serve because of my position. You heard about that one man told his wife, said, honey, I ain't going to church no more. Said, they talk about me over there all the time, making fun of me all the time. All they do is run me down, make fun of my clothes. I hear them whispering behind my back. I ain't going back. And she said, well, I'll give you three reasons why you ought to go back. Number one, you're saved. Hebrews 10:25, and not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not less church, but more church. He said, well, I can't argue with that. And she said, number two, they preach a Bible over there, and you need to hear the Word of God. Word of God. Man, you ain't going to hear it up at the mall. You're not going to hear it at the drive-in theater. You got to get under some, and the world in its wisdom knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. You got to, and how that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is where preaching's getting done. And he said, well, you're right about that. She said, number three, said, you the pastor over there, if you don't go tonight, ain't, amen. Who's going to preach? Now you laugh and you say, I'd hate the pulpit to be empty, but there's an old song we sang up in the mountains where I come from. It's called Don't Weaken the Wheel. Each spoke Jesus needs. When you're out of your place and your spot, I'm telling you, there's a weakness there. You say, well, my role's simple. I just sit and give $5. Well, hey, your $5 is missed and your smile's missed.
Amen.
And somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching your life. Somebody's observing your life, and where epistles read and learned of all men, and I serve him because of my position. I serve him because it pays. I just want to say this before I go any further. Young people, everybody that's 20 and under, stand up. You're 20-year-old and under, stand up. If you're 20-year-olds and under, you stand up. Y'all look at Brother Tony. Y'all, all of y'all come right down here. 20-year-old and under, come right down here. I want y'all to get where y'all can hear me real good. All of you, real hurry. I don't know what y'all do up north, but when I say come down at my church, they get down in a hurry. We're not deciding whether we want to. We coming. Come on right in here. Watch this. Come on right in here real close. I want y'all to get real close to me. Hey, come on up in here, hon. Right up in here. Hey! Come right up in here, ma'am. Right up in here, sir. You're too short. You got to get up here in the front. All the short ones right up here. Come up in here. Come up in here. Hey, you're too far back. I want them little ones right up in here. Right here. Y'all make some room. Angelina, everybody come right up in here. Right up in here. Hey. Right up here. Where are we going to get? Can y'all hear me? Look at, okay, right there. There you go. Got that little dog. Is everybody listening? Look right here, Brother Tony. I want y'all to listen to me. I want y'all to listen to me. Don't you listen to this lie about it's hard serving God. Don't y'all let anybody tell you a lie. Hey, don't you let anybody lie to you and tell you it's hard serving God. That's a barefaced lie. The Bible said that the way of the transgressors are. I tell you what's hard when you know to do good and do it not. To him it's sin. And the Bible said, God bless you. And to whom much is given, and much will be required. And I want to tell you, you're going to answer for the responsibility God's given you. And the opportunities you've had, your parents brought you here. You found a ride, a van, picked you up, some Sunday school teacher knocked on your door. Hey, you ought to praise God they cared enough to bring you to church. Y'all listening to me? Ma'am, what's your name? Hey, are you listening, Veronica? Hey, Veronica, I'm talking about, that's a lie talking about it. It's too hard. It's hard not to serve God. I don't see how the world makes it, y'all, without God. Hey, you grown people, tell me, how in the world are they making it without God? Your forefathers founded this nation. These early pioneers settled in this country. You know what they were? They were Bible believers.
Yes, sir.
That Mayflower compact, you know what they said when they got over here?
first line for the first sentence was completed. For the in the very first sentence of the compact, you know what they said? We're here to propagate the Christian way. Before they had the first period. Don't you believe this lie that, hey, all they're trying to put out now, freedom of religion means all religion. That's a lie. Y'all listening? It's all about Christianity. It's all about Christianity. And the war we're having right now is jihad. They want to disguise it and call them insurgents. You know what they are? They're rag-headed, rug-riding Muslims is what they are. And let me help you that every single Muslim that you know is as kin to a terrorist has a pig as a sow.
You're right.
Amen. It's all about religion. It's all about Christianity. This world hates Christianity. They hate everything about Christianity. The battle's about Christianity. Hey, man, sir, you better get out of my way when I'm preaching. I'll knock your head off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's all about Christianity. Better not believe this lie they're telling y'all. It's so hard. That's a big bare face out of hell lie. Greatest life ever is to serve him.
Yes, sir.
Old David said, I've never seen the righteous forsake. Said, you know what old David said, that psalmist? He said, I've been old. He said, I'm young. Said, I've been old. Said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging for bread. And you never will either. Amen? Hey, can y'all help me a little bit, grown people? Hey, I'm telling you, serving God is the greatest thing you could ever do. It's the greatest thing you could ever do. There ain't nothing like it. There never will be nothing like it. Hey, there never will be nothing like it. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. Amen. Y'all go sit down. I serve him cause I got a position. I serve him cause it pays. Now I'm going to give you my sermon now. That's all my introduction. Can y'all handle a sermon? If we could interview old Joshua, one day we'll probably pull him up when we get to heaven and say, Joshua, let me ask you, if you honestly believe I can. His answers are in his life. You don't have to tell me what you believe. You'll show me what you believe. Nobody has to tell me. You don't have to tell your sons what you think's important. You reveal to them what you think's important. What about that? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things shall be added. Your priorities are easily read. My priorities to my family, they know what I think's important. I don't have to write down I think tithing's important. They'll see when I give. They'll see the sacrifice. They'll see when we can't afford something else that they would rather do, go on a vacation. And I say, I wish we could go, but we can't go. I wish I could buy you that, but I can't buy you that right now. Y'all understand that? You don't have to say show. You don't have to tell anybody what you think's important. It'll show up. And Joshua revealed through his life why he served the Lord. I'll give you three thoughts and we're going home real fast. And real, real fast. Number one, if we could interview him tonight and set Joshua up here on the chair and say, Joshua, after all these years, man, you've seen a lot of things. Man, you saw a lot. You saw a lot of moving of God. You saw a lot of. You saw a whole lot. Just tell me why you can make such a dogmatic statement at the end of your life. I believe his first answer would be this: "Hey, y'all, I serve him because I want to." I've learned a long time ago, man. I've tried everything to get people to serve God. I've bribed them. I believe in promotion. I'd give away a bicycle at a funeral if I thought he'd keep somebody out of hell. Did y'all understand that? A bicycle at a funeral if I thought he'd keep somebody out of hell. Hey, we give out, we have hot dog Sunday and cheeseburger Sunday and all that stuff. Look up in here. Is everybody okay? Man, I've done everything to try to get, I mean, but I've learned something. There comes a time in a young person's life that a new skateboard ain't going to keep them serving God. There comes a time in an adult's life where a shopping spree is not going to keep them knocking on doors passing out tracts. There comes a time in your life where you're going to have to decide that you want to serve him. I try, I do everything I can as an incentive for my daughters to look right and dress right. And I encourage them, boy, there's going to come a time when daddy ain't going to be here. Oh, Joshua had some great mentors. Oh, Moses was a good man, wasn't he? But Moses wasn't there to watch him all the time. Chapter 1 said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with him. Moses is off the scene. Hey, look up in there. Been time my motivation was to please my daddy. That'd be a good motivation. But he's not here anymore. There's been times my motivation was to please Brother Mays Jackson. He'd come preach at our church. Man, Brother May, he loved our choir. And he'd say, Brother Tony, don't you change anything what you're doing. And I'd just go, oh, I'd call people and say, guess what Brother May said. I've got great men that have influenced my life. Most of my mentors are in heaven now. Harold Seitler's gone from here. The great church builder, Jack Hiles, he's gone from here now. Y'all listening to me? There's going to come a time where you're going to have to serve God because you want to. You're going to have to develop. I'm worried about this crowd that says they're saved and has no want to. You got to go, got to send some kind of visitation committee to see why they didn't come to church. Now, I know these two ladies got saved Sunday. I believe they got saved. But look up in here. Hey, y'all better go try to impress upon them by being baptized. Get them in church. Amen. I'm excited about them getting saved. I don't know. I believe they got saved. Y'all understand me? I'm fully convinced they got saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, it'll show up pretty soon if they have. Now, don't get mad at me. We have a lot of professions at our church. I'll be honest. This makes some people mad, but I don't start counting them until about a year after they make their profession. I quit counting them. We don't count them immediately. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just being honest. I done seen so many of them come down there, I'm saved, and the next week they won't help with the light bill, won't help with the rent, and if you can't do it, they go down to the next church down the road. Ain't no more saved, look up in here, than a jaybird saved. Hey, if you get saved, there's going to be some want to about you. They're going to be some want to. Amen. They're going to be some desire. The Bible said if any man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good word. This mama called and papa sent a bunch of preachers bother me. Ain't got enough fire to warm a chigger's feet. Say amen. Ain't got no more called to preach and see the ministry as some kind of a career choice. Now, God will put a want to down in you that you can't even put out. If you'll halfway, old Jeremiah thought he'd quit. Jeremiah said, man, I think I'll speak no more in his name. But he said, there's a fire down in my bones. And said, I can't help it. As a want to in me. I'm bothered by this Christianity. It has to be constant motivation. I serve because I want to. I'm a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, ma'am, guess what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. New creature. I got passed from death unto life. I got regenerated. I got born from above. I got quickened. I got made alive in Christ when I got saved. And hey, ain't nobody had to beg me to come to church. I was brought to, but my mama never made me. I was wanting to go after I got saved. Now, she made me before I got saved. I hated church, hated everything about church. Too long, too loud. Amen. B.R. Lakin preached one in protracted meetings at our church, went 21 days. That was the most miserable 3 weeks of my life, lost, going to church every night. I'd watch them Christians getting happy and praising God. I'm saying, what are they doing? That's all a bunch of fake. But when I got saved, friend, I became a new creature. Y'all understand that? That happened, and there's something wrong with this kind of Christianity where there's never any change. It's not the change that saves you, but the change is evidence that you've been saved. New creature. I serve because I want to. I'm a new creature. I serve because I want to. I got new circumstances. Things are better serving God. It's just a better existence. I'm excited. It's better existence serving God. I used to preach a lot in the penitentiaries. I was down at Bullock County Correctional Institution. What used to be called a penitentiary, now they call them a correctional institution. Now they call them rehabilitation institution. What used to be called a penitentiary. What they used to call them was drunkards, now they call them alcoholics. What they used to call them was dope addicts, now they call them chemically dependent. But guess what? They're still alcoholics and they still, hey, they still dope addicts. You're not born like that. Well, I was born a sodomite. I never been to the maternity ward and walk up in there and there's a, you know, they got pink for the girl and blue for the boy. I never walked in and seen a rainbow. I said, well, look at this little pretty sodomite right here. Ain't he going to be a pretty little sissy boy? Yes, he is. Say Sammy, say Stephen. Say sweetheart. Never seen a little old dyke looking butch thing, chopped off hair, metal lunch box, and steel-toed boots, and say, well, won't she be a nice little old lesbian? Somebody help me. That's a lie out of hell. Ain't born no drunkard. You had to take a drink. I've got the disease of alcohol. You believe in a lie. You like that stuff. Won't you quit drinking? You'll sober up. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony. I appreciate that very, very much. I was up there in that penitentiary. And I went in those isolated cells, back in those isolated cells. Y'all know where one cat per room. I'm talking about bad dudes. I was walking down the hallway. I had on a white shirt. Black back, King James Bible. Pocket full of tracks. I had on a white shirt. Black back, King James Bible. Pocket full of gospel tracks. I was walking down, and I'm talking about from out of nowhere. I'm talking about, I was back in, and I heard somebody over there. I'm talking about crazy looking. He looked out the window. He said, I perceive that thou art a man of God. I'm thinking, what, dude, white shirt. Gospel tracts, King James Bible. I said, like, yeah, I'm a preacher. This is what he said. I'm Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee. I said, man, I've been wanting to meet you all these years. Man, what's going on? Wild-eyed. I said, how's it going in here, Jesus? He said, oh, the ministry's rough behind bars. And he said, the food stinks. I thought by now, this is not Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee. I mean, I said, now what? Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth from the regions of Galilee. I said, well, now where are your people from? He said, oh, down there around Birmingham, Alabama. He said, let's go. Oh, listen to me. Hey, I've had more fun by accident serving God. I've never had to leave a meeting like this and wonder, did I hit anybody driving under? And I've been under the influence when I've left meetings like this. Be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with. I've left high, but I've never had to check my bumper for hair and blood and wonder if I hit anybody on the way back. Wonder how many I got pregnant out of wedlock. Wonder how many children I got somewhere I don't know about. Is everybody okay? I'm trying to tell you, man, it's better, the circumstances of serving God. Hey, the guilt's gone, friend. It's a whole lot better serving God. I serve him because I want to. Oh, Joshua had some want to about him. He's a new creature. He had new circumstances. Let me say, I got new cravings. I like stuff I used to didn't like. Used to didn't, that's Tennessee talk. I like things that I didn't like before I got saved. I mean, I've got an appetite for stuff. Y'all understand that? I mean, there's a fight goes on. My flesh lusts against my spirit all the time. My spirit against my flesh. I'll be flipping through the radio. Don't y'all act like you're better than me. And man, I mean, it'll just kick in. One of them songs that old flesh likes. I could be holding you tonight. I go, man, my body, I like it. My flesh says, don't you like it? You don't care about what I think. I said, boy, I like that. And that spirit said, oh, you don't like that. I go, oh, yeah, I do too like that. And the spirit says, no, you don't like that. You don't like that. You'd rather hear Vestal Goodman saying, God walks the dark hills. I said, well, I like it, but said, I like that other too. Don't act like it don't happen to you, because God will strike you dead right in here. That old flesh pulls against me. Y'all listen to me? But I'm telling you, I've got a stronger craving for the things of God. I have to battle it, but I'm telling you, I mean, I said, no, I really like that. I'd much rather hear that good choir sing. I'd much rather hear Dad, Brother Daniel saying, you're the best thing ever happened to me. That's what I really like. There's someone on the inside that said, you really like that. Now, you like that better than you like that other. Don't act like it doesn't happen to you. You're holier than thou. Hey, sure it happens to you. And I'm going to tell you what happened. The circumstances of serving God and the cravings that I have now outweigh the cravings. Now, you say, well, that's not happening to me. Well, then you must be feeding that carnal man a whole lot more than you're feeding that new man. If you feed that white dog more than you feed that black dog, that white dog's going to lose in the fight. You can't keep feeding that carnal thing. Sure, we're going to hear some of that stuff, but it ought to be no steady diet of that in your life. Hey, one George Jones song a week is about enough. Say amen. Somebody help me. Hey, stop loving her today. Oh, oh, oh. He placed a reef upon his door and soon I carry him away. He stopped loving her today. No wonder you're so depressed. If that's all you listed, God help you. You know what you get when you play country music backwards, don't you? You get your dog back, get your wrecked truck back. Somebody tell me. Get your first three ex-wives back. Amen. I'm looking. What you feed, hey, you start feeding that new man, look up in here, and you'll have a craving for the things of God. I want to, because I'm telling you, I've got a craving for the things of God. I like it. You can't preach too long for me. I love preaching. Man, thank God for preachers. I'm talking about, I like them old-fashioned, wind-sucking, hacking, slobber-slanging, North Georgia mountain preachers. Hey, it blesses my heart to hear them preach. Amen, friend. And you put your kids under that stuff and it'll change them. Yes, sir. And they'll never be, you get them around this atmosphere, and you parents, and yeah. I'm telling you, you'll put something in them that ain't going away. Yeah. That something will get in them, they'll never be satisfied with this old contemporary and this old dead fundamentalism. There is an element of dead fundamentalism. Orthodoxy fundamentalism. See, the Bible said spirit and in truth. You got to have both of them. He said, I'm looking for spirit. They're going to worship me, they'll have to have spirit and in truth. That's King James. You know I'm mainly King James, like mainly all the way. Is everybody okay? Hey! I serve him because I want to. What about your want to tonight? Well, Joshua, could you tell us another reason for such a dogmatic statement? I believe his second answer would be, I serve him because I ought to. You know, I'm going real deep tonight for these theological pearls. Y'all put on you rain caps. We're going deep for the pearl. Number one, I serve him because I want to. I wonder how your want to is tonight. You had enough to get here. That's good, but you ought to enhance it. You ought to develop your want to. Come on back tomorrow night. More you do it, the more you'll like it. More you read the Bible, more you'll like reading the Bible. Amen. I serve him because I want to. Number two, I serve him because I ought to. I've been enlisted in the fight. What about that? Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. By the way, it is a good fight. Paul said, I finished my course. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And God bless your heart, I've kept the faith. Hey, it is a good fight. Oh, Hinkle Little was a mountain preacher. He lived over where near where you are in Marion. In that area, Brother Little, and he was an all millennial preacher, but he preached the glory, sang him old songs, and I heard him preaching at Glen Haven one night, and they asked him after service, then somewhere in the middle of the service, they said, Brother Little said, have you fought a good fight? And old Brother Hinkle Little thought a minute. He said, no. But he said, bless God, I've been in a good one. I'll tell you something. It's a good fight.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, it's a worthy cause. I can't understand how we're wasting our time with all these AIDS walks. Church people going to an AIDS. What are you doing going to an AIDS walk? That's the discipline of God on them queers. Is everybody okay? Man, go pass out some gospel tracts, knock on some doors, get somebody in church. We are so sidetracked by non-essential, by non-scriptural activities. This fight is a good fight. We've been enlisted. We don't have option in this fight. We got a bunch of these Jane Fonda Christians. Well, everybody out there in the world ain't bad and all. Well, man, I don't want to wade through minefields and punji pits and razor wire to find a good one. If they're so good over in that ecumenical crowd, let them come over here to this separated crowd. Y'all listening? Climb on over. It's good. The water's warm. Jump in here with us. I'm talking about the fight of faith. I've been enlisted in the fight. I have been entrusted with the faith. Jude said, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered by the saints. We don't have a lot of faith. We got one body of doctrine. It's that apostolic doctrine. It's not this apostolic church, what they talk about, but it's that apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What did they do? Well, they believed in the virgin birth, what they believed in. I believe the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and planted her womb to receive an almighty God. That's why we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was tempted at all points like as we are, and yet without sin, sir, because he never inherited the sin nature. Don't get excited. I'm just talking about the deity of Christ. Y'all look at me. Stay calm. I know that's boring, but we got a God who came and he dwelt among men, and I mean, he was God. But just stay calm. We're only talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just, you know, get one up and whoa. I believe in the virgin. He born of a virgin. Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. That's not some young girl. There's young girls all over the place. Hey, there's young girls in here ain't virgins. We're talking about a woman who'd never known a man in a sexual relationship. And the Father of Jesus was the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a miracle. I'm talking about the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. All Scripture, every bit of the Bible is given by inspiration to God. I believe that this Bible you hold in your lap is the Word of God. I believe it's perfect. And don't let these academic crowd intimidate you about, well, there's been a lot of revisions in the King James. You couldn't read a 1611. First of all, you could read one. It's not that difficult. He's got a lot of double E's. There's not one word changed in the 1611. It's the spelling that was changed. Because they had no vowel sounds. It's not that difficult. There ain't a word change. It's the King James. You got a King James in your lap. You got the right one. And it is authorized. I didn't get the response I'd like to get. I don't care how many times y'all hear that. Y'all need to get excited about that. We've entered an era now where it don't matter how much we say it, get excited about it. King James Bible. Hallelujah. I don't know what that line means up there, really, but praise God, it reminds me of the King James. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about, praise God. Hey, we've got a body of doctrines been handed. I'm talking about vital doctrine. Y'all understand that Jesus is coming again? That's the visible return of Christ. He's coming. We ought to serve him because who else is going to stand for it? What about that vicarious suffering at Calvary? He bore our sins in his body on the cross. Jesus did not make a down payment at the cross. He finished the job. The job was finished at Golgotha's hill. All we got to do is believe by faith what he did for us. Accept it. Repent and believe. You'll be saved. What about that? What about that victorious bodily resurrection? I'm talking about on that third day, the Rock of Ages rolled out. Bless God. The stone rolled away and the Rock of Ages got up out of that tomb. That's cardinal doctrine, sir. If we don't stand for it, who is? You honestly think Jan and Paul Crouch are going to stand for it? This bunch of television crowd, what they going to stand for? A bunch of hippies up on the platform? They wouldn't know doctrinal truth. They don't know what they believe. Oh, they believe something, you know, casting out devils. Casting out the spirits of nicotine and all that stuff. They better work hard on me. Say amen. Everybody all right? Look up here, bless God. Some of y'all looking peaked. I was going to stop, but if y'all tick me off, I'll preach another 2 hours. I'm this close to quitting. Thank you, sir. Hey, I serve him because I, number one, serve him, number two, because I've been entrusted with the faith. I've been enlisted to fight. Watch this. I've been entangled with the foe. I hurry to illustrate, and I got to go on. I got a family in our church, the Bursa J family. They came, been shacking up, Mike and Debbie. Their son got saved. They came to watch him get baptized. Mike had hair down to his belt, all them earrings, all that junk, you know. And he got saved, came watch Eric get baptized. Well, she got right, and he got saved. All of them, just like that. Well, I went to baptize him. Y'all listen to me?
Yeah.
Baptized him. That old hair was floating on the water. Night he got baptized, I got mad and pushed it under. Wasn't long. He kept getting a little shorter and a little shorter. Now he's working Route 3. Amen. Debbie's captain. He's driver. Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Watch it. Well, they got right with God. They'd been 6 years, never missed a Sunday.
Yeah.
After 6 years of being saved and working that bus route, they said, Brother Tony, said, we're going to have to go to East Tennessee, my mother's birthday. Could you get somebody to visit our route this Saturday, Route 3? I said, oh, sure. So bus meeting came Saturday 1. I said, Route 1. They said, here, Route 2, here, Route 3. No, nothing. I said, where's the sorry dogs that kept in Route 3? And it hit me. They'd gone over yonder, and I was supposed to find somebody. I said, Route 4, Route 5, went on through. Went forward, I asked my bus director, I said, where's the log book for Route 3? He said, well, it's right in here. And he went and got, we always have an extra book in case somebody gets sick or don't show up. Had Route 3. I started first house. It said Bubba and Sissy. January Street. Bubba and Sissy. Well, you know, in the South, Bubba. There's a lot of Bubbas. Man, at our church, my son, when he was born, we called him Bubba. I said, Bubba, come here. And 15 boys come running up to me at the same time. So he changed his name to Bubba. Amen. But I went up there and I knocked on. I got out of the car at January Street, listen to me, and I had to kick whiskey bottles out of the way. Beer cans and hypodermic needles. Are y'all just to get to the front door? I knocked on the door and a Bubba come to the door. Sissy, come here, you ain't gonna believe who's here. It ain't Sister Debbie, it's Brother Tony. And here comes Sissy, eyes big. Brother Tony, where's Sister Debbie? I said, well, she won't be here this week, but I said, we're going to be by in the morning to get you, so y'all be ready. And I looked over there, and there laid an old tapped out whoremonger of a man. I looked on the coffee table, there sat a bunch of grass laying up there in them zigzag rolling papers. Mad Dog 2020, Thunderbird wine. Y'all listening?
Yep.
Right there on the coffee table, drug paraphernalia. And there's some kind of a harlot of a woman laying over there. Gone. Didn't know where she was. Track marks up and down her arm. And I said, well, now y'all be ready. We're going to come by in the morning and get you. And Sissy said, Brother Tong, we can't go. I said, sure you can go. I said, we ain't got nothing to wear. Well, now two things don't tell me. Don't get mad at me. But don't tell me that your kids ain't going to get no Christmas presents. And don't tell me that they ain't got nothing to wear because I believe in Santa Claus. I am Santa Claus. You understand? Look up in here. Ho, ho, ho. If you don't think I'm Santa Claus, look at my Visa bill. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Y'all must believe in him. You got these poinsettias in here. Amen. Praise God. Don't act so spiritual on me with them poinsettias in here. Amen. Hey, watch this. I'm telling y'all, I went to Walmart and I got Sissy a little old white looking dress and I got her some of them thick, not hose, but whatever they call them, tights. And I got her a little pair of shoes. I got her a pink bow to go in her hair. Got her some little old panties with some lace looking stuff on them. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
And I got Bubba a pair of khaki blue pleated pants and a little white shirt and a clip on red tie. Because I got him clip on because I said, soon as service over, he'll want to jerk that off. Amen. Praise God. Ain't no Bible for ties. That's just traditions of men. Amen. Praise God. And I wouldn't wear this unless I thought it hurt my love offering. Say amen, praise God. and brought him, but got him a little old pair of black Harley bike looking shoes. Y'all know what I'm talking about, them black shoes with them little rivets with them cleats on them. You say, why'd you get them? Because that's the kind I'd want to wear if they'd been mine. Say amen.
Amen.
Boy, I went back. I took them back home. I knocked on the door. I said, y'all, hey, got something for you. I mean, I missed my first visit. I said, here you go. Y'all be ready in the morning. And those sissies said, Brother Tony, I ain't no way I can go to church like that. We can't go. I said, we ain't got, we're filthy. We can't put those clean clothes on. And I said, silly, take a bath. Now listen to this. I'm not talking about Africa. Girls, are y'all listening to me? I'm not talking about third world country somewhere. I'm talking about in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. This is what they said. Well, Brother Tony, we ain't got no running water. They cut our water off. That's funny. They got rolling papers. They got a grass, a big old bag full of marijuana. Ain't no telling what other kind of drugs they got in the house. Are y'all listening to me? Got wine. They got that old cheap wine. Boone's Farm laid up in there. But I got to thinking, my goodness, they ain't got no water. So I don't suggest you do this, but man, we've been in the bus ministry a long time. I just hollered over at that whoremonger and that woman. I said, look here, we're going to take these young'uns, get them cleaned up for church in the morning. I called my wife. I said, get the water running, get it hot. Get a stick, get a bar of that ivory soap that floats on top, because they so filthy, if it goes to the bottom, they'll never find it. Amen for ivory. Somebody say amen. Man, I took them home. We started into the house and we got the refrigerator. My refrigerator, we got red top milk. Somebody say, what am I talking about? What kind of milk we got? We ain't got no purple top, bunch of effeminate purple top. We got ain't got that pink top. We got what color? Absolutely. We got real Coca-Cola's in a bottle. We've got Juicy Juice. We've got them Capri Suns. We got sweet tea, ma'am, that just been made. We don't let it set over a day. Pour it out at the end of the day. You listening? Hey, we've got water in bottles. We got that communion juice, Welch's. We got the real thing. When I was a little boy taking communion, I said, if I ever get my own house, all that did was make me thirsty for grape juice. Somebody help me. Don't act like y'all so. Hey, and I said, if I ever get on, if I'm going to get me a whole jug of that stuff, put it in my refrigerator. We keep gallons of just straight Concord grape juice in there. We drank it like water. Everybody all right? A little wine for the stomach sake. That's exactly what it's talking about. Boy, I opened that door and I reached there to get me a Coca-Cola, and old Bubba said, well, Tony, is them Juicy Juices in there? And I said, yeah, Bubba. He said, can I have one? And Sissy said, but Tony, he really wants two. And y'all laughed, but it hit me. I wonder how long been since they had anything to drink. I handed him one of them Juicy Juices, ma'am, them Capris, and he stuck that straw in it, and he said, and he said, would it be all right if I get another one, Brother Tony? I said, Bub, if you want a whole box of them, you can have them. It's starting to get to me right now thinking about it. He's sucking things down. I gave him some Little Debbies to eat, them little old Little Debbie. Y'all got Debbie up here? Oh, yeah. I gave him some little, that's a Chattanooga home headquarters, is Chattanooga, Tennessee. I gave him some of McKee's, little Debbie's, them oatmeal cake. They was eating them. They was hungry. I'm not talking about Africa, sir. And you know what? All over these little boroughs, these bunch of dope making, bunch of crack amphetamine making, methamphetamine labs all over this country. And kids need help. Help me. Amen. Families are hurting. I serve him because I ought to. And you ought to too. I've been entangled with the foe. Be sober and be vigilant for your adversary. They walk about to see him and devour. I serve him, number one, because I. Number two, because I'm closing with this thought. I serve him, number three, because I'm afraid not to.
Well, fear is not much of a motivation.
Well, you didn't read that passage in. Fear the Lord. You'll never serve God do you fear God. I'm deathly scared not to serve God, man, because I've been warned by the Word, whom He loves, He chastens. And He said, He scourgeth, listen to this, every son whom He receiveth. Sir, He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Listen, if you're living in disregard to God's Word and you're not getting whipping spiritually, you're no more saved than a jaybird saved. If you can live in blatant disregard to revealed word of God and God's not whipping you, sir, that's a good indication you're on your way to hell. Because I can't even get in a fight with my wife without feeling bad about it. Me and my wife, I know y'all's spiritual, y'all don't have fights. We have knockdown dragouts. Last time we got in a fight, my wife crawled to me on her hands and knees and said, "Get out from under that bed and fight like a man." And I didn't see her for about a week. And then my right eye began to open just a little bit on one side. You say, y'all have cross words? Man, our words fly so fast, I ain't got time to cross up. Man, we fight. I remember I got last one of them fights I got in. I said, "I tell you, your problem, you get enough whippings when you was young. You may talk to your daddy like that. You're going to talk to me like that. You spoiled Jack just like your mama acts. What you needed was some whippings when you was growing up. What you need, got by with murder. Now look at you." Well, we was fussing and fighting. And I was fixing to go preach a meeting. I said, "I'm gone." I slammed the door and got in the car. Started down the road going 96 to 40, and going to get 40 and head to North Carolina. I mean, about an hour from the house, Holy Ghost slid up on that passenger side. Not verbally, but if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. He said, "Boy, it's going to be a good service tonight, ain't it? Power of God will be on you tonight. No doubt tonight when you preach, power's going to fall. People are going to be getting saved all over the building. Isn't it, Brother Tony? It's going to be on tonight. You'll be so full. People's going to be shouting her down. It'll be full tonight. There are going to be lots of people saved tonight. Lives changed." You know what he's doing? He's whooping the fool out of me. And so I said, "All right." And I reached over for my cell phone. He said, "Uh-uh, that ain't going to get it. I'm an hour from, I mean, done made an hour in the trip, man." I had to turn that thing around and go all the way back to the house. And him whooping me all the way back. I know y'all don't get them because y'all so spiritual and everything. But I'm talking about what God did for y'all so spiritual. Y'all never get any whippings like I get unless you're saved. Amen. I know y'all don't get whippings like I get unless you're saved like I'm saved. And I started back and I got to the house and I went up there and knocked on the door. She comes going, "It's all my fault." I said, "No, it's all my fault." She said, "No, it's all." I said, "No, it's all my fault." I said, "Shut up. I done told you. You're going to keep on." I said, "I done told you once, woman." Man, I mean, listen, I can't even get in a good fight. God beat me up. Y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I serve because I'm afraid not to. I've been warned by the word. Philippians said it's God who works both the will and to do his good pleasure. I tell you why I'm afraid not to, because I've been willed to this work. You got saved, look up in here, no option. You don't have a choice in this thing. You got saved, you're saved to serve God. For we labor, 2 Corinthians 5:9. "Wherefore we labor that whether absent or present, that we may be accepted of him." What about that Christian life and that labor? And we got a lot of 3S Christians in our church. They just sit, soak, and sour. Won't do a thing but complain. Critical, real critical.
"I just don't see why Long's preach so long. I don't like the way Brother Tony preaches."
It's not the way I'm preaching, buddy. It's what I'm preaching's got you real nervous. Has nothing to do with the way I'm preaching, sir. Hey, it's what I'm preaching makes you uncomfortable. Amen. I'm afraid not to serve him, sir. Because I'm telling you, I've been willed. God, there's enough I already know to do. Now, I'm going to help y'all a minute. I don't know what the perfect will of God for your life is. And I don't know what to tell you young girls about what's next in your life. I wished I could tell you who you're going to marry and all that stuff and put you at ease and it's going to all be good. I don't know that. And you don't either. But you don't put your service on hold till you know everything about the future. A lot of Christians just kind of, they're waiting. I know preachers like that, looking for the next step. Well, they're not doing anything where they are. I had a preacher call me the other day and said, "Listen," said, "do you know of a church somewhere looking needs a good pastor?" Man, I sucker punched him. I said, yeah, I can think of one. I said, let me get their address right quick. I said, hold on. I went in there and looked up his address. I said, and he was from North Carolina. I said, I believe they're in North Carolina. And I looked over here on that thing, and I said, it's 10 something, something, something. So I tell his ass. He said, oh, Brother Tony. I said, they need a good one. Why you want to leave just because it gets hot? Do something where you're at.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about, well, I'm going to look for something. No, do what you know to do. I'm scared. There's enough that I know to do. Okay, let me help you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he knows we know we all be winning souls.
Yep.
They'll be passing out tracts. You know you ought to pray.
Yep.
But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost for Jude 20. What about that Matthew 18:19? And again I say unto you, if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. What about that? What about Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What about that? I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubt. I don't know. Hey, I don't know all about the Bible, but the parts I know pretty good. Look up in here. You know you're supposed to be praying. How many of you prayed today over 3 minutes? Our Heavenly Father, bless this food to our bodies and bless us now and use us in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this good food we're having for lunch. Nourish our bodies now and strengthen. Give us good service tonight. For we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. 42 seconds. Be a strained prayer life. And we're to pray without ceasing.
That's right.
You can't you can preach too much. You can sing too much, but you can't pray too much.
Amen.
What about that? It's the only thing we've been commanded to do without stopping.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ought to pray. We know that. We know we ought to read the Bible. But this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night. What about that Psalms 1, man? Blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of God, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delights in the law of the Lord, and his law did he meditate therein day and night.
Amen.
Be embarrassed and have had all the deacons stand, all the Sunday school teachers read their Bible through from cover to cover. Getting real quiet now, ain't it? It's amazing. Dr. John R. Rice. How many's ever heard of Dr. John R. Rice?
Amen.
You young people, he's an old preacher. When I was a boy, he was old. And I remember he'd come preaching, and I'd hear him, and I couldn't understand what he said. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just being honest. I couldn't understand him. And his glasses, he'd get him, he'd say, and the thanks of the Lord, and the Bible says, and the Word of God, and the Word of God is so true, and the Bible, and I just couldn't understand him. If you've ever heard him, that's what he sounds like. If you go on that internet, you just, and praise the Lord, brother. I'm just going, what is he saying? But it's amazing how the Lord lets you hear what he wants you to hear. He's up there one night preaching. He said, how the Word of God. And how many of you have read your Bible from cover to cover, stand up? It's funny, I heard that part. Here I was sitting, the preacher's son, I ain't read my Bible. My mama stands up. I knew she'd read it from cover to cover. My two goody two shoes, Holy Joe's sister, stand up. I'm looking around all these good Christians standing up. I'm sitting back here and my daddy's standing up. I'm thinking, man, it's going to look bad. He's the preacher. I ain't even read my Bible through. Man, I hate to make daddy look bad. Then I looked over and I happened to see two deacons standing that was illiterate. They couldn't read their name in boxcar letters. They're standing up. I said, well, I'm going to watch him, and if God don't kill them, I'll stand up. I said, them dudes can't read. I know they. Everybody knew they couldn't read. People in our church looking different, looking aware. If you handle the Bible, they wouldn't know if it was upside down or right way, man. And so I stood up. I'm going to tell you what I did. I said, Lord, you know I'm lying. And my mama knows. My mom probably whooped me because she knows I'm lying. My two sisters know I'm lying. But Lord, if you'll let me live through tonight, I'll read my Bible.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, a great change came in my life when I started hiding God's word in my heart.
Amen.
Makes a difference, friend. I'm afraid not to, because there's some things that I know to do. If you just act on what you know to do, God will show you the next step on what you do. All that stuff you got questions about, just do what you know to do first. I'm afraid not to. I've been wheeled. I've been warned. But wait a minute, I'm being watched. The world's watching us. Scares me what the world is watching. Seeing what it scares me what the world sees in my life. We moved to Tennessee. I was a teenager. I was born in Georgia, and we moved to the great state of Tennessee, the great, wonderful state of Tennessee. Praise God. I felt something when I just said it. And we moved into a town. My daddy's name was Curtis Hudson, H-U-T-S-O-N. And we moved into a town, and there was a man on a liquor store. And guess what his name was? Curtis Hudson. H-U-T. They ain't even, you can't find H-U-T-S-O-N. Everybody's H-U-D-S-O-N. If it's an H-U-T, they kin to us. Come find out, man, he's like one of our cousins. Here's one of them, an old-fashioned preacher, another one, a bootlegger. Same town. Man, weird things happened. We were sitting at the house one day, and here come a Budweiser truck driving in our driveway. We were sitting on the back porch. My dad, old-fashioned preacher, and the guy said, "It's Curtis Hudson's house." I said, "Yeah, we got you 9 kegs you ordered." He said, "Hey, it's Curtis Hudson. Didn't order no kegs." And his son, you ain't gonna believe this, his son's name's Bubba Hudson. Guess what his real name is? Anthony Hudson. I'm Tony Hudson. One day Bubba called me from the market down there. He said, "Hey, Tony, you got to get down here." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I got 3 crates of John R. Rice reference Bibles sitting in front of my beer cooler," and said, "It's killing business." I said, "We'll be down there when we can. I'll be down there in a little while. See you in a day or two." Curtis Hudson. I was sitting at a Waffle House restaurant, a little place we in the South, a lot of these, like a 24-hour joint. And I was sitting up at the countertop, and listen to this. And my daddy had been dead several years. And I felt a hand up on my shoulder. And a man reached over and picked up my ticket to pay for my bill. And I looked, and it was Curtis Hudson, the bootlegger. This is what he told me. He said, "Son, I've been watching you." He said, "Your daddy would be proud of you." A bootlegger. Picked up my ticket. I've never had a Baptist preacher pick up my ticket in Murfreesboro. I picked up a bunch of theirs, too. I've been doing some sowing. I just ain't kicked in on a reaping yet. They hate me in Murfreesboro. Heaping coals of fire on their head. He said, "I've been watching you. Can you, ma'am, look, do you understand? The bootlegger been watching me. I want to thank God I ain't thrown in the towel on that bootlegger watching. I want to thank God. It's funny. I've never had one prostitute or one dope dealer in Murfreesboro ever criticize our ministry. Never. They always encourage us. We appreciate you picking up our kids. Thank you for coming by and getting our kids, taking them to church. Y'all listening? Hey, the world's watching, and they watch you when you do. They watch me, and they watch you when you don't. It scares me to death. It scares me to death that I'm going to slip up. Be careful. One of our members called one of my men yesterday. And he thought he was calling his wife. He got to cussing on the phone at his wife. I know y'all don't have members like that. I was telling about our church. Y'all so spiritual and everything. Nobody would think about something like that here. Because y'all so pure. Y'all so perfect. But one of my members, he thought he was talking to his wife. He was on my bus captain. You know how you mash that number and you went right? He thought he was mashing his wife. Guess what? He's calling my bus captain. He's cussing on that phone. Don't you wish that he hadn't done that? Don't you know he wished to God when he saw who he had called? Don't you know it's gonna be hard for him to come to church Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Man, let's don't live where we gotta regret it.
That's good.
Because the world's watching us. One day we're gonna be at that white throne, sir. the way I study it, y'all can believe it any way you want to, but I believe we're going to go to a white throne judgment one day and all the unsaved dead are going to be brought up and we're going to be standing there judging them. And that fellow you work with, your coworker or your neighbor is going to say, "What? Hey, bud. Hey, cat daddy, what you doing on that side?" And you'll say, "Well, I was a Christian." And he'll say, "Well, sir, why didn't you ever tell me?" Serving number one calls a
want to.
What about your want to? Let me ask you right now. Do you need to cultivate some want to? You're either contaminating your want to or you're cultivating your want to. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. It's the who's in your life that adjust your want to. You hang around a zealot, you'll turn into a zealot. When you run with the lame, you develop a limp. You're a product of your environment. What about your want to? What about that ought to? When was the last time you really owed up to the responsibility you have? Everybody, if nobody else, we got two churches represented here tonight, this one and this brother's church here. If ain't nobody else in this area but us, but y'all, why can't we just live for God anyhow? Somebody ought to stay straight. Everybody ain't got to go ecumenical. Everybody ain't got to go charismatic. Everybody ain't got to go weirded out. Let's have somebody hang in there. We ought to. And has the fear of God motivated you lately? Well, the love of Christ constrains me. Well, that sounds spiritual, but if you never feared him, you don't know how to love him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. Let's stand together. Brother Daniel, you come. And here's what I want you to do. And honestly, it's not about how many come to the altar. But if God's dealt with your heart, and there's some decisions that you need to make tonight, I believe God's given a message tonight. I know I've been praying this afternoon. What should I preach? God, I've got some glory mess, some camp meeting mess I could preach and brought some happy down. If they work like they've been working, we could have shouted it out. But maybe I felt perfect peace. This is what we needed tonight. What about you tonight? What about your want? Young people, hey, mom and daddy ain't going to be here to motivate you all the time. One day, your adult influences will be gone in your life. What about right now asking God to develop some want to so when they're gone, you'll still be serving him? What about that? Are you serving him just because of the Christian school principal? Are you serving him just because your parents are involved? Or has there been a development of some want to? Would you come around this altar? Oh, God help us. Would you come? Would you come? Sing out, Brother Daniel. You mind the Lord tonight and do what God would need you to do.
Now since I've started,
oh, God help us,
for the kingdom, and since my life he controls, and plenteous grace he bestows.
Nothing to be said on top of that, other than the fact that there's a reason. There's a reason why you and I are doing what we're doing. There's a reason why we're not. And you and God know what that is. And so you take what you've heard and you do business with God. Some have already done that. Some are thinking about it, but God won't give you peace till you do it. And I'm not going to pray that you get peace till you do it. God's long suffering, but he's not retarded. And he knows when somebody's playing him. And he'll wait. And he's patient. He's loving, he's caring. But you're not going to play him. And if you think you can, if you play the game, you're going to pay. You'll pay in the long run. It would behoove all of us to just come clean and do right. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Make sure you thank Brother Tony. He'll be leaving out early tomorrow morning. So thank him for the help that he's been to you. and pray for him, pray for his church, and we'll gather up again tomorrow night. Brother Brian, thank you for coming.
Amen.
Carly, buddy. And we'll expect to see all of you back tomorrow night. Don't miss out. Brother Daniel's been chomping at the bit.
Amen.
And so he'll close out the meeting tomorrow night. And drive carefully, and we'll see you tomorrow. Amen. God bless you.